Grab a book there and turn to page 224, and let's sing this one together, okay? We got a music man missing in action, and I'll just take over for him. If you'd like to stand and sing this, because this is a song you have to put a little energy into, and if you hadn't had your Sunday afternoon nap, this will wake you up and put a little energy into it. It will. Here we go. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Now that's my favorite part. When you get down there, you get to say saved three times as loud as you want to. Okay? And with as much energy as you can, let's get down there. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on his mighty arm. I know he'll guide me all the way. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved. What happened to the volume on that last one? Come on now. You thought I'd just do it and you wouldn't hear you, right? Nuh-uh, I might quit at the inopportune time, so you better be getting those saves. You ready? Come on now, we can do better than that. Here we go. When poor and needy and all alone, in love he said to me, come unto me and I'll lead you home to live with me eternally. Power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. Yes, yes, victory, victory, mercy. Anybody got a prayer request? That was good. The lost, amen. Family and the lost, and don't forget Tom. Felt sorry for our old boy this morning. He wasn't himself, was he?
Hopefully more people will come into the church.
Yeah, well, we're working on that, Joe. Pray for our young man Chris Miller. I am concerned about him. If he's not back up there right now, he has an hour to be there. And if he doesn't, it's a halfway house. It's just three blocks up from the church here. And if he's not there at 7 o'clock, I guess the thing is you go back to jail? I don't know. But anyway, pray for Chris. And then his friend David, who was here this morning, that was a blessing. I went up to see what was going on with Chris, and David said he'd been thinking about coming down. And so he came on down for the 11 o'clock service. And I'm going to take him to Black Olive Saturday if he shows up. If he doesn't, I'll save money. Amen. Got a prayer request? Amber. Okay. Don't forget that. Kidney. Oh, okay. It's hard to hear from here to there. I get little bits and pieces. Okay, let's remember Amber. Yes. Yeah. I think I talked to you about 4 times. Just reminding you, Brenda. I'm the one who gave you the plumber's name. Okay, God's good. I mean, even though we have all these issues and problems and troubles, God's still good. And I'll tell you right now, I don't see you all very well. I sat down there this afternoon and dozed, and when I woke up, I couldn't focus. I couldn't see. So I got up and went out, and still I couldn't. It's better right now than it was, but I may have to go over to the eye hospital and get them to diagnose me or something. I don't know what it is. I've had a little bit of an issue like that. See if y'all have had this, where I would maybe take a nap in a recliner and my neck would go over. You know how your neck flops when you go to sleep, and it would go over, and when I'd wake up and straighten up, it would be similar to that, and I just felt like I was cutting circulation off. You know, maybe I'm doctoring too much, but I just felt like I cut circulation off or something. But anyway, it's not cleared up like it normally would, you know, clear up like that. So anyway, I believe I can see well enough to read. If I can't, I might have to call Nick up here and finish up. That's right. That's right. Yes. Anybody else have a prayer request, Jack? Anybody else? Okay. Becky? Yeah, I think about Becky. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Well, we'll just go ahead and receive our offering right now. If we could have a couple to come up and do that. Let's just thank the Lord for being able to be here. And I want to thank him for the blessing we received this morning. It was good. Bless it, John. Amen.
My mother was very special to me, and she taught me Christmas is every day with her. It was, especially after she got saved, it was like, I don't believe there's another more giving, a person that gave more of herself than, and not just because she's my mother, but just, you know, the way it was. And with that in mind, I'm going to sing you a song.
I hear the bells saying Christmas is near. They ring out to tell the world that this is the season of cheer. I hear a choir singing sweetly somewhere, and a glow fills my heart. I'm at peace with the world as the sound of their singing fills the air. Oh, why can't every day be like Christmas? Why can't that feeling go on endlessly? For if every day could be just like Christmas, what a wonderful world this would be. I hear a child telling Santa what to bring, and the smile upon his tiny face is worth more to me than anything. Oh, why can't every day be like Christmas? Why can't that feeling go on endlessly? For if every day could be just like Christmas, what a wonderful world this would be.
John, I like that. You're supposed to say thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. I remember him singing that song. I'm going to have to get John to buy my CDs. You do a good job picking out songs, buddy. With your permission, I'd like to steal that from you and sing it sometime. Okay. Good to see you. What's this sign language? Do what? Oh, you mean you wouldn't think I would pull that back around before I started? Or I could do this. There's a lot of ways to skin a cat, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, y'all ever think about the future and what you're going to do and what God's going to do with you and where are you in your life? What's your age? How long do you think you might live? You know, just little things like that. Do you ever think about stuff like that? Ever float around in your brain? Well, I think we all do. You know, you come to a certain age in life where you think like that. Well, I was reading Psalm 116, and it dawned on me that that's what David was doing. He was thinking about the days ahead. And we do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. As long as we know where we stand with the Lord, it doesn't matter what you think might happen. You might think some awful things could happen, and awful things can happen. We know that. It's called life, and it sure can happen. But if we know where we are with the Lord, it's quite all right. And even if you go so far as to think, you know, well, maybe next year this time I won't be here. Or before that, you don't have to go that far, a year away. That's okay, isn't it? I mean, after all, that's what we are living for, is to go home. Our home's not here. And David knew that. He knew that he had a future with the Lord. He knew that his future was not with anybody else. It was going to be with the Lord. And so I read a few verses of scripture here in Psalm 116, and very few verses in it, but I got to see him where he was going with this, and I just wanted to share it with you tonight, so that if you get to thinking about your future and where you might be and what might be going on, gosh, in 3 or 4 years, Stacy might own 3 dog grooming businesses. I'll tell you what, you will never go into a dog groomer's business and feel like you feel when you leave. I don't care if you have a dog or not. Just go down and visit with Stacy and then come back out, and you'll feel like the greatest dog who ever lived. I promise you. It'll happen. God's so good, he's been so good to our congregation. We got some really, really, really good people here, and I get to talk to some of you more often than others because y'all call me. If you don't call me, I won't bug you a whole lot. You know, if I get to missing you, that's because I hadn't seen you, you know. And even then, I might not call you. I think, well, they didn't want to show up. I'm just talking with y'all. This is a Sunday night, and it's a little more laid back, yeah. Pam knows all the words to say. Yeah. She said it's like therapy. Okay, let's just look at the few verses of scripture here we're talking about. Okay, that'll be good. Psalm 116, look at verse 12. I'm not going to go back any farther toward verse 1 than that. I think I'll read verse 12 and then go on down to 19, okay? And here's where we are. What shall I render? Make sure John turned his mic off. Okay, you did, John. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Now, as I read these, think about if you've ever thought like that before. What can I give back to God for everything he's given me? If we realize everything has come from him, and it has, everything I have, I owe it to him, whether it's a material thing that I can hold in my hand or whether it's a spiritual thing, doesn't make any difference. It all came from him. And so David is wondering about that, and he says, what shall I render? What can I give unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's what I'll do. Amen. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Then he gives a verse that we use, and I'm sure Nick has used this many times, by a graveside or in a funeral service, because it is for a Christian person. It's the ultimate verse of Scripture. In fact, I would prefer that whoever handles my funeral service, that they would read that one verse right there. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, was he going a little far with his futuristic thoughts here? Well, he's going all the way to where he might leave this world, which is fine. Then he said, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. It's amazing how that certain thoughts will wake us up to see deeper things, isn't it? If we let our thoughts go far enough, keeping in mind all the time you do this, if you do this, you got to keep in mind all the time that you're his child. He's your Lord. He's your master. He's your heavenly Father. He's there for you, with you. He's everything to you. And then when you get down to that area where you say, well, I know that if I pass on, my death is precious to him, because he said that it was. Now, he wouldn't say this about anybody else. Has to be his children. Has to be those who are saved. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And then he said, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am, and he repeated it, I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee, he's in the giving mood, isn't he? I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. If we get to the place to where we will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, that means we're in the total giving mode right there. And it's not about the money you give, it's about the life you give. More importantly, it is the life that we give. And we'll call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. I think he just said that. Is that important? If he says it twice, if he repeats it, is it more important? Oh, I think so. Sometimes I watch, now I haven't forgotten that last verse. Sometimes I watch the news, and I think it was this morning maybe when this little lady was given the weather report. And while she was given the weather report, she used a word at least 6 or 7 times in just a short span of time. While she's giving it, I'm thinking, now wait, honey, that's a little bit over usage of that one word, as to use that with a weather report. And but she, to in her mind, and what she was saying, it was important to her. And right now, I couldn't tell you what the word was. It was something like definitely. Oh, that's it. It was definitely. This is what's going to happen. Definitely now, this will happen. Definitely, this is the way it's going to be. Now, definitely, this is the way this weather's going to be at 6 o'clock tonight. Now, definitely, in the morning at 3 o'clock, it will be this, but definitely, I don't care. But we use repeat words sometimes when it's real important, and he's doing that right here. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to bless this few verses of Scripture, and I'm going to go over a couple of them with you and just get you to thinking about this is part of being into December and having the right frame of mind for a true Christmas celebration, so that we don't get caught up, and I know we probably do this every year, so that we don't get caught up in the hoopla of Christmas and remember what it's all about. It's all about the one we adore. Oh, I don't know about y'all, but I was adoring him so much I could hardly leave the church house this morning. I'm telling you, I adore him. Let's thank him for this scripture. Lord, we are so grateful for your word. We're so thankful that you have given us another opportunity to be back here tonight to praise you, to worship you, and Lord, to offer the benefits that belong to you, because your benefits to us are so much. We want to give back to you of everything. And we just praise you, Lord, for the giving spirit, not a Christmas spirit. We want a spirit that you've given us, a spirit of love. And out of that love, we want to give back of ourselves to someone else so that we can see a change in people's lives. Praise you for everything you've done. And Lord, I praise you for what you're going to do here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want that young man to get back here at 7 o'clock tonight and get his life straightened out. I had so big hopes for him, and I haven't lost that. God can still do it. After talking with his grandmother, she said he's difficult. And I said, he was the nicest young man to walk in the door and sit back there at the back. And she said, oh, yeah, he's nice, but he's had some issues and he's difficult right now. I said, well, I've dealt with a lot of difficult people, and I won't quit. I'll keep trying to deal with him. And maybe when I went by there to see him this morning, I wasn't supposed to see him anyway, because the man who came was the man I talked to at the door. And maybe he's the man that I went to see. I don't know. I just trust God that he knows what he's doing, and wherever I am, I am. And I just pray, God, use me wherever I am. But in this, David's thinking about the days to come in his life, whether he will be working in the church very much, or whether he'll be teaching Sunday school, or whether he'll be singing in the choir, or, you know, all the things that go through a person's mind who is a faithful church attender. You can't get away from your faithfulness to your church. Right. If you're a child of God, you'll have a church.
Yeah, right.
You won't be one of those that says, well, I've been looking for 24 years. No, you'll know where God wants you, and you'll be there, and you'll be doing what God wants you to do. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. So that's pretty much where David was. He was just making remarks on life and his work and whatever was going to happen between where he was then and his death that was going to happen. And so here's where we're going to take this, if you don't mind. I want to start first with 12 and go down to 15. I'll finish up with 17, 18, where he's going to pay his dues. You know, we have dues that are owed, and we got to pay those, right? But you don't look at it like that. It's a vow that you make to God, and you stick close to your vows. I don't know about you, but I was raised that if I made a vow, that was a huge thing. If I promised, I call a promise a vow. If I promised I was going to do something, that was like it was locked into my brain, and it was not going to leave until that was taken care of. Did I tell y'all about that dime that teacher gave me in the fourth grade to go see a movie at the church? I mean, at the school. Well, they used to show little movies in a gym, and it cost you a dime, and you had to bring a dime with you to see it. Well, I don't know if I didn't think of a dime. I probably didn't think about it, but when I got there, they were leaving the classroom going to the movie, and I didn't have a dime. And I said I don't have a dime. She said, well, I'm going to loan you a dime. She didn't say give. She said, I'm going to loan you a dime, okay? Because a dime back in 1951 or two or whatever it was, dime was a dime. Today it would have been what, $2? Anyway, she said, I'm gonna loan you the dime. You can bring it back later. I know your dad and mom has a dime. You can bring it back later. And I never brought it back. I was in the fourth grade. Now, keep this in mind. I believe a child of God, these things go in and they don't leave until things taken care of. And anyway, I got out of the fourth grade, went into the fifth grade. In fact, we moved to Lamar, and I went to Lamar School in the fifth grade. Moved back to Irwin, and I went to Love Street, which was a different school because that was Martin Chapel that I was in the fourth grade. Moved back to Love Street and went in the sixth and seventh grade. And then we moved to Carter County, and I went to Tiger Valley in the eighth grade. And then after that, we moved to Johnson City, and I went to junior high school here in Johnson City, and then went on over to Science Hill and finished there. That in between that, I had two close reform school times. I went to the Marine Corps right after high school. Went straight from my senior year graduation. 7 days after I graduated, I was at Parris Island, South Carolina, and I came home after Camp Geiger, my extra training, and. I couldn't get away from the fact I owed her a dime. I drove from Johnson City to Irwin, where I knew where she lived. I drove from Johnson City to Irwin, where she lived, knocked on the door. She came to the door, and I said, "Miss Harris, I want to pay you that dime I owe you." You should have seen the look on her face. Now, that was in 1961. It was like 51 or 52 when I got that dime. I'm just telling you how things will be if we promise or make a vow. David knew how big a promise or a vow was, and she didn't have any other alternative but to accept that dime. That dime was going in her hand that day. That was a demonized dime for me for a lot of years. And so I gave her the dime, and I was so happy coming back home. You thought I'd won the lottery, and they didn't even have a lottery back then. But it's just the way it is. And David knew how important it was to make vows. So then he was saying here in verse 12, he said, "What shall I render unto you, Lord? Now, I know what you've done for me, and I am so happy for what you've done. Now I want to know, what can I render to you?" Do you believe the Lord will talk to you and tell you what you need to do? Yeah. I do. I believe he'll put things in your mind, and you won't be able to get away from it. You'll have to do something with it. If you say, "What can I render to you?" and he tells you, no matter how quietly he tells you, you're going to remember that, and you're going to have to get it done. Absolutely. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" Sometimes I think about the benefits that God has given to me, and it just overwhelms me. And you know what I do? I adore him. Y'all thought I forgot that, didn't you? No, I adore him for what he's done for me. Is that a reason to adore him? Part of mine, because I'm human. Now, he doesn't need that. See, he didn't need for me to do anything for him to save me. He didn't need me to do anything for him to love me. He loved me unconditional. Before I ever could do anything for him, he loved me. We're different in our human thinking. We get more giving if somebody has given, right? It just seems to say, "Well, you gave this to me, and now I've got to give something back to you," and that's not so. Well, David was, that's where he was. He said, "What can I give to you for what you've given to me?" And the Lord never expected him to be that. That's just where he was in his life, that he was to give back to the Lord. He says, "I will take the cup of salvation." That's the best thing he could have taken, right? "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." That's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to give my heart and life to him, and I'm going to live where he wants me to live. Everything else, it'll just be gravy on the biscuit. "I will pay my vows unto the Lord." Now, N-O-W, now in the presence of all his people. And I'm sure that over the 30-some years we've been here, that I have paid vows you didn't even know I was paying. to the Lord for everything he'd been to me. If you saw anything in my life that has helped you along the way at all, I was just paying vows that I'd made to him, just keeping up with how good he had been to me, and I give him all the credit for everything. He deserves it all. It all belongs to him. Now, you get to verse 15, and verse 15 changes the whole thing. So I want to stay right there for just a minute, because when he was talking about the future, and when we're talking about the future, we're always going to be a mind of death. Death is always going to be there. And I have a very healthy outlook about death. I don't mind talking about death. In fact, we can talk about how the funeral home's going to be arranged and what's going to be on my casket if you want to. It's quite all right. And don't want you to put anything in the casket with me, because I don't want anything leaving here in that casket, okay? Some people say, Daddy, I want to. No. Don't want nothing in there. And when I start talking about this, Becky says, Daddy, shut up. But I have to get her to this place, because my dad was the same way with us. When we went to the funeral home to do his pre-arranged funeral, we went into the room, sit down around the big table, and all four of us boys, all four, sat around that table with Dad, and Dad was saying what he wanted and who he wanted and everything, you know, and we were all there, and he'd say, "What do you think, boys?" And we'd say, "Dad, whatever you want, you know, it's fine with us, because we're all your boys, and you've brought us up right. We know about death, and it's going to happen, and so when it happens, we'll be ready." Well, then we left there and went into where the caskets were. We went into where the caskets were, and we were looking at them, you know, and there's a whole bunch of them in there, and he said, "What do you think, boys?" And we said, "Well, Dad, it doesn't matter to us. It's yours." He said, "But I won't be here to see it. So what do you think?" And I said, "Well, whatever you pick out, Dad, that'll be fine. It'll be fine." And don't even remember what he picked out. It didn't matter. We were there with him. The biggest thing was all four of his boys were there with him. And we were all proud of him. And I'd like to think he was proud of all of us. You know, being there with him like that. But he was preparing for the day. And I took that, the same thing I took that. Didn't take Becky. I couldn't take Becky to prepare anything. But I went down, Kay and I went down here to Appalachian and prepaid our arrangements about 15, 20 years ago, I guess. And sat around the table and answered the same question. It brought back memories of that. Now, if y'all don't want to hear this, it's okay. I'll just shut up. But we sat around that table, and he asked us the same questions they asked my dad years earlier, you know. And we said, "This is what we want." And we left the table and went into where the caskets were. And you pick out the casket. And I picked out a medium priced one, you know, UT orange. I think it was a gray blue color of some sort. Anyway, they've got it on record. But Kay picked out a beautiful mahogany. It was beautiful. The wood was beautiful. Now, it might not be anything beautiful to you about a casket, but when it's a pretty wood, it's pretty, ain't it? Huh? And it was beautiful. Well, when it come time for Kay to go down there for the funeral, they couldn't get that casket. And so the funeral director came to me, and he said, "Dan, we can't get that casket anywhere. Do you want to pick out something else?" I said, "No, I don't want to pick out anything else. You just do whatever you think." Well, it come to be that they found the highest priced wood built casket that they could find, and Kay got it. So if you'd like to see that, I've got a picture of it. It's beautiful, because I know that when I leave here and I get to glory, I won't be looking at a casket. Huh? And I won't be seeing Kay the way she was when she left here. And by the way, in case some of y'all are wondering, Susie knows about my arrangement with Kay in heaven. She knows how that was. And it was our arrangement is just fine. And Susie's a child of God, and she'll be there too. We'll all be there rejoicing together, because none of that will matter, not one bit. Not one bit. But he says in verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now I want to contrast a little bit here. Like, it's kind of like we did this morning in a way. I want to contrast a little bit, because the contrast is where we are now and where we're going to be on down the road, maybe a year or two, three, four, 5 years, whatever it is. Things change so fast. Would you ever thought that we'd ever be calling our children anything but a him or her? Or by their first name, whatever it is? I never thought we'd ever get that crazy in this world, but we've gone that crazy. This world is crazy. It is. And here, there is a definite contrast between where we are now and where we're going. So the contrast here is that we are in a restless situation. There's very little peace and rest except in Christ. They may, during Christmas, I hear all these media people and the politicians and everybody talking about peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and I don't hear anything that sounds like they know what peace on earth, goodwill toward men is. But the turmoil that's in this country, the turmoil that's in the lives of so many people, and you all don't, if you don't deal with people every day, you don't know how huge it is. Turmoil is a cancer. COVID didn't have anything on turmoil and restlessness in this country. It's a terrible situation. But when we leave here, we don't take any of that with us. That all stays here, not going at all. Not one bit of it is going with me. Because for one thing, he wouldn't have it there. Where I'm going is I'm going to a place of rest. When he said precious in the sight of the Lord, and precious means that I'm precious to him. So where I'm going, he's going to make sure that I know that I'm precious. He's going to take care of me. I'm his child. I'm a saint of his. I am. I haven't always acted like a, you know, some people say, well, I don't claim to be no saint. Well, you may not claim to be, but if you're a child of God, you are. And maybe we need to try to live up to it a little bit more. I don't know, but that's where we are right now. Amen? Amen? So there is a contrast between where we are. I am a Christian, but I am also a pilgrim. I am a stranger on this earth. I'm not a pilgrim and a stranger and won't be in heaven. He's already got me a place to live. I'm going to move in. Everything's going to be hooked up. Everything's going to be paid up. There's not going to be any more bills to pay. I don't have to go online banking and see what I need to do. Everything's going to be taken care of, I promise you. Yeah. So as we grow older, these kinds of thoughts are going to come around. I'm sure I'm talking to somebody who's had a few of these, and I'm just more or less sharing them with you because I have them too, you know. If you could picture heaven as a place that I kind of touched on it this morning somewhat, if you could picture heaven as a place, first of all, a place. You see, this world doesn't believe that hell and heaven is a place. They don't believe that hell and heaven is real. If they don't know the Lord, heaven and hell is not real. They won't allow that to be a real thing in their life, because if there is really, truly a heaven and a hell, they're going to have to make a decision. They don't want to. And so there's not. As long as there's not a hell and a heaven, they don't have to make a decision. So there is not one. And you can't prove that there is to anybody that don't want to believe that there is. You can't do it. So, I want you to picture heaven as a place of total peace. We talked about the Prince of Peace this morning. I want you to picture as a total, total peace. And then I want you just to invert it inside and just let it saturate your thoughts for just a moment, that you're going to a place that He's prepared that is absolute, total peace. All those things that you face every day of your life won't be there anymore. Won't be there. I just think about little Angie. Her last few years where she was working was not peaceful. I talked with her. I could hear it in her voice and see it in her face. And by the way, leaving there and going somewhere else is not going to get that gone all of a sudden. It's that's still life wherever we are. We have life, right? But when we get there, Angie, it won't be any more of this. Total peace. The Lord wants us to have peace here too. But if we're going to have it, we got to have some harmony that goes with it. And that's harmony between people that we live with. I want to live in harmony, don't you? I do. As long as other people will harmonize with me. Lynn, I saw that. No, I need to know that there's got to be some harmony. That's people who sing harmony listen to the other person. You can't sing harmony if you are not listening to the other person. You can't do it. So each other listens to each other, and then that's where you have harmony. And that's where we want this congregation, this family of believers at Liberty Fellowship, we want to be so harmonized that I want to hear what you are going through, and you want to hear what each other's going through, and then encourage each other, because that's what we're here for. We're here to encourage each other. And David knew that this was where God wanted him, and he was there. So if he was going to spread any tranquility and peace and things like that among the people, if he was going to spread some joy, like, you know, last Tuesday, I was so proud of Nick. He went and got out of that bus and went up to the front door of people he didn't even know and sang Christmas carols. And it's just one of those happy times. We were spreading joy. And they loved it. But we've got a whole lot of joy to share. But the biggest item of joy that we can share is our Savior, Jesus Christ, and how much we adore Him. If you want a light to turn on somebody's face, let them see how you adore Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And they can see it if it's there, I promise you. Because He's taken us to a place of eternal rest, and that's where we want to be. I was going to read a verse of Scripture from Revelation. Yeah, here we go. He says, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." I've never had the word tired as part of my vocabulary. Never. Until the last year or so, a couple times I've had to say, you know what, I'm tired. And I guess it's okay to admit it. I mean, alcoholics have to admit they're an alcoholic, right? If I'm a tiredaholic, I need to say I'm tired. So I did. I've made that statement before. But he says, "Yea, write unto blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Don't miss that last part. Your works will follow you. You're not saved by your works, but when you're saved, you're going to work. You're going to serve Him. That's the meaning of work here. You're going to serve Him. You're going to serve Him with joy and gladness, and it's going to be part of it. And that's going to follow you what you do, because he's going to reward for the deeds done in the body. That's what he's going to reward. Now you say, well, boy, I should be really rich then. No, he's not going to reward you for that. He's going to reward you so you can give it back. See, Christianity is a giving life. So when he gives to you, you just give it back. After all, he's always given to us, isn't he? Do you ever think about what it's going to be like when you get to heaven, though, with other people? What kind of reunion it's going to be? Now, I know there's all kinds of different opinions about this as to what we'll look like. You won't be able to see all the wrinkles that we have. I had to bring that up, Pam. I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me. See, she'll keep you straight. It's not going to be like that. We're going to have a terrestrial, celestial body that only God could do. See, he created the one we have now. All the DNA that's in you, he created. So if you look like your daddy or your mama, that's okay. You look like your daddy or your mama. That's the way he planned it, that we would look like each other. That makes you wonder how it could be any other way than a man and a woman, right? It can't be. Okay, now here's the reunion part. I love reunions, but when you get to heaven, there's going to be one. I'm going to have a reunion with my dad and my mom. Love my dad and my mom. My grandmother, my grandfather. I didn't know my grandfather on my dad's side, but I just hope and pray that he was one of God's children, and I'll see him there. I'd love to get to know him. But I know my grandmother and grandfather on my mama's side were saved, and my grandmother on my dad's side. But as far as my grandfather, I don't know. But there's going to be a reunion. All the people that I have pastored who were saved, I'm going to have a reunion with them, and I'll remember their names. Connie, quit laughing. I will. God's going to make it so that I can remember everybody's name. And I'll remember everything they ever told me. Okay? So I'm going to have a new body, new mind, new heart, new everything. New brain. But with all the people in my family, I'm going to have a reunion. Of all my friends, I'm going to have a reunion. With everybody who's saved, I'm going to have a reunion. Even though I never met some of those, they're still part of my family, and I'm going to have a reunion with them. Because I, to be honest with you, I've been to reunions, foster reunions, when I didn't know half the people there then anyway, because they just keep coming from somewhere. I think China is the reason this is happening. So we have a reunion, and we say, now, who was that? Well, that's Uncle Bud's boy. Well, Uncle Bud didn't look like that, I didn't think. But we I love reunions. But the reunion I want is the one in heaven when I get to be with all those that I have loved and known, even the ones I don't know, and they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to be there with them. But more than that, I'm going to have a reunion with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Can you think of what it's going to be like to be in heaven now, in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and all of his angels, host of angels, singing in harmony? The most peaceful place you will ever think about being is right there. And you're going to say, oh, I don't want to leave here. You won't have to worry about it. You're not leaving there. You're going to be right there. Oh. Not altogether for the accomplishment of faithfulness are we going to have this. We're having it because of the grace of God. I didn't deserve heaven, Nick. I don't deserve heaven. Oh, but wait, I do too. You know, when we talk about what we deserve and what we don't deserve, because of his son, I deserve heaven because it was promised me, and I have it. It's mine, and I have it. I'm going to hang on to it, aren't you? He said, I'm going to give you a crown of righteousness, everlasting life. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. Oh, mercy. I don't know about you, but I can have a really good imagination. I may not have seen it physically, but I can just imagine. There's a song like that, isn't there? I can only imagine. I can imagine. And I want you to imagine what it's going to be like when you get to glory with everyone, because he put it here for a reason. Now, I told you I was going to go back to 17 and 18. Since that's where we are in this thinking, here's what he said in 17 and 18. Here's what he said he would do. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He's paying up now. I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows. Here's that repeat. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Pray ye the Lord. Oh, how good he is to us. I want all next week, I want you to go through the week, every day when you get up, new, fresh, when you get up, I want you to think about adoring him. I want that to be part of your thinking. The first thing you get out of bed, you think about how much you love him, how you adore him for everything he is. And boy, we found out a lot this morning, didn't we? What's his first name? Wonderful. Wonderful. You don't have to think about all the others. When you say wonderful, all the others will come to you, I promise you. But he's wonderful. If you'll call me next week, each one of you, give me a call next week. And say, I just want you to know, I woke up this morning and I just thought how wonderful the Lord is. You think I'm not serious? I'm serious. Give me a call next week, sometime, anytime. And just let me know you were thinking about how wonderful he is. Because he is. Let's pray. Lord, how good you are. And we want to worship you because of your goodness toward us. We want to thank you that we're precious to you. As we live now as your children through your Son, Jesus Christ, we're precious to you. But oh, but you would remind us that that thing that we fear sometimes, that thing that is not a good thought in our way of thinking, it's precious to you because that's another child coming home. No, we're so grateful for that. And I pray that you'll be with each one who's here tonight. May we look up this next week and see you as wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace. Oh, thank you, Lord. And we'll pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, and your Son. We pray. Amen.